The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We just heard the command of the Father. "This is my Son, listen to him." But what does it mean to listen to somebody? What does it mean when a wife tells her husband, "You never listen to me," or a child tells her parents, "You aren't listening to me"? To bring it down to really personal, what does it mean that I want Carol to listen to me? I know what that means. It means I want him to pay attention to what I'm saying to him. It means I want him to hear what I say, but not just hear it. I want him to understand what I mean when I say it. And it means more than that. It means I want him to pay attention to the things that I say and the things that I do so that he knows me. If Carol listens to me, he knows that I love corgis. He knows I love reading out loud. He knows I love going barefoot, going camping. He knows I love mushrooms. He knows I hate liver. I hate horror movies. I hate making phone calls. And I hate selling things. After being married for 42 years, that's a lot of listening. He knows all these things. He knows more than that because he listens to me. There was never a moment where we just sat down and rattled off our lists of the things we like and the things we dislike. But there are a lot of ways for people to listen to each other. You hear their tone of voice. You notice how they react to something. If you love someone, you listen to what they don't say as much as what they do say. You listen to what they choose. You pay attention to the places they love, the things they keep close to them. It's all part of listening. Because we listen, we pay attention to the things and the people that matter to us. There are just three times in the Gospels that God the Father, speaks directly and audibly, a voice booming out of the heavens. It only happens three times. The first time was at Jesus' baptism, and the last time was on Jesus' last week of life on earth. But today we read the story of the Transfiguration, and when God spoke on that day, he issued a command, and the command is this: "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." It's a call into a relationship. This is my Son that I love. Pay attention to him. Hear what he says. Learn what he cares about. Notice. Remember. Listen to him. For Peter and James and John who walked back down the mountain alongside their friend and teacher, it's pretty easy to understand how that worked, what that meant. But the call's for us as well. to listen to the Son. That's what I wanted to think about today. How do we answer that call into relationship? Listen to it. Because we know that God would never call us to listen if he wasn't willing and eager to speak to us, to be known by us. And the most obvious way that we listen to Jesus is when we read the Bible. In John's Gospel, Jesus is even called the Word, because everything that God revealed in his written word, from the time of the creation through the whole thing, is fulfilled in the person of Jesus. If we want to know God, if we want to hear him, we can go to the scriptures. But sometimes the Bible seems just a little unapproachable. It's really big. It's like War and Peace on steroids, and it seems like too much to tackle sometimes. So much of it seems so hard to understand. And so there's a lot of ways that people try to come to the Bible. Some people use it like a magic eight ball. They go to the Bible when they want to find an answer, when they have an important decision to make. And they take the Bible and they let it fall open. And they look for a word or a phrase and they hope that is God's message to them. And the amazing thing is that God, in his great love and humility, sometimes will answer that. He wants so much to communicate with us that he'll show us, even in that immaturity, even in that superstition. It's our job to listen, and if we listen, God is always faithful to speak to us, sometimes even on our own foolish terms. On the other extreme, there are people who approach the Bible like a research project, something that they need to take apart, to categorize, and pack it away into neat, tidy little theological packages. And I think when people come at the Bible like that, God most often answers by throwing them a curveball that just shatters the foundation of their carefully constructed notion of who he is, so that we can begin to really know him as he is. If you come to the Bible willing to listen, you'll find yourself surprised. Surprised out of your comfortable assumptions. Just the way your husband or your wife keeps surprising you. Even after you've been married for years and years and years, as long as you keep paying attention, keep listening. But the way that we should come to the Bible is we should open it as if it were a letter to us from the person who loves us more than anyone in the whole world, because that is what it is. Very few people write letters anymore. Very few people receive letters. But when I get a letter handwritten by a good friend, I just savor every word. I read it over and over, and that's how we should read the Bible. Not like a magic formula for guidance, not like a code that we have to crack, or not like a set of facts that we have to organize, but living words written for our benefit. Every word from our beloved teacher and Lord, every word is worth listening to. But we can also listen to Jesus from within ourselves. It is a very rare thing for a human being to hear the voice of God. I don't know if I've ever known anybody that actually did. Even in the Bible, it's very rare. Most of the time when people heard from God in the Bible, it was through dreams or prophecies. But God does speak with us. We can be in regular conversation with him because the Spirit of Christ lives within us. And he's in communication with us all the time. He's always speaking to us. Jesus told us the Father was sending the Spirit to us in his name, that the Spirit would teach us all things. All things, that's a lot, that he would bring to our remembrance all that Jesus had told us. But it takes practice. It takes practice learning to listen and recognize his voice amid all the clamor. There's a lot of voices in there. A lot of things being said inside you. It takes practice to recognize his voice, but there is in us that knows his voice. Jesus told us, my sheep recognize my voice, and we can hear him if we choose to listen. It's not magic. It's not looking for some kind of a sign to tell us what to do. It's being in communion with someone. And then it's being transformed by our relationship from within. But there's a third thing, and I think it's sometimes the last place that we look to hear the voice of God, and that's by listening to each other. God is present in his people. When we gather together, God is here. When we're with one or two people, God is there. His Spirit is in you. And he has a lot to say to us through each other. Jesus said, if we love one another, God abides in us. His love is perfected in us. And so when we're seeking to hear God, we don't just look for God's leading through our own feelings or our own thoughts about something. We take seriously what our brothers and sisters say as well. A lot of times you can perceive my gifts or my strengths or my weaknesses much better than I can myself. And I might be able to see your strengths, your weaknesses, your real gifts better than you can see it yourself. Listening for the voice of God in your brother or sister is one of the most important ways that you can submit yourselves to each other. Psalm 46, verse 10, one of my favorite verses. It says, be still and know that I am God. Being still and knowing God is listening to him. It does not mean sitting around doing nothing, twiddling our thumbs. To be still and to know is to be in a listening posture, ready to hear, willing to learn, willing to be transfigured, just as Moses was so transfigured by his encounter with God that the skin of his face shone. We might not end up glow in the dark, but we cannot possibly listen to God without being changed, without being touched by his glory and his goodness. If we seek him in his word, if we learn to recognize the voice of his Spirit inside of us, if we learn to meet him in our brothers and sisters, then our faces and our lives are going to show the difference. And it's just like what Bob just read to us, all of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into his image from one degree of glory into another.